thank you to Jonathan for getting the computer working, which is the first answer to prayer this morning. Yes, thank you so very much for inviting me to come and share about the work of Medcare and to tell you a little bit about this work that I'm involved in Uganda. And as John said, it's particularly thrilling for Jeff and I to be worshipping with you today, because it was nearly 40 years ago that we were worshipping here for a couple of years when we were young medical students. And in fact, it was through the prayers of the people of this church that Jeff in 1973 gave his heart to Jesus. And it was a time when the apparent impossible became the possible, which is what I wanted to talk to you about this morning. So here was Jeff, a fun-loving, those who did know him, there are a few here who do remember us still. He was a very fun-loving medical student. And myself, I'd argued for 4 years and plotted and prayed and discussed Jesus with him to know, you know, nothing happened. And I just thought this was just totally impossible until God made the impossible possible in May 1973, when Jeff totally miraculously, I think it actually knocked the socks off all of us who were praying and were there that day in Flatfields, when Jeff's hand shot up as he gave his heart to the Lord. So we have a lot to thank all of you at Mount Chapel for. Yeah. And so as I say, this is what I want to talk about, the impossible being made possible. Jeff and I eventually became doctors. We were medical students and we were here. Jeff became a surgeon and I became a GP. Jeff still works as a surgeon and I have retired as a GP because of my work with Medcare. And we've got 4 children and 2 grandchildren and 1 on the way in May. So the Lord has really blessed us as a family. Just to let you know, 4 of our 8 children now are doctors. We have a vet, a farmer, a businessman, and a full-time mum who also organises the rest of us. It's my eldest daughter, and she leads the children's work in our church. So we're really blessed, and all of our children and their spouses love the Lord. So it is a fantastic blessing, and you know, we never cease to just bring them before the Lord and thank him for them. In Luke chapter 1, we'll have read this passage over the Christmas period. We read these words of Mary. When she acknowledged, she said, "Nothing is impossible with God." That was Mary acknowledging that fact when the angel told her she was going to give birth to Jesus. And of course, that statement is as true today as it was over 2,000 or so years ago. In, can I have the first slide, thanks? In November 2004, that's not the first slide, sorry. Unless we slipped. Oh, it is the first slide. Okay, never mind. In November 2004, I was asked to travel to Uganda to give my opinion on the health problems of the children in Uganda in a very small village in southwest Uganda. I was only there a very short time, but as the days progressed, I became more and more angry at what I observed. I saw children in extreme poverty, and they were often sick, and they were unable to obtain any medical assistance because of their poverty and because of a lack of accessible medical care. And I grew increasingly angry as the days went by, because I realized that all of these sicknesses I saw, all of them were really unnecessary. All of them were preventable and treatable in some way. And I questioned, you know, why did these children then have to suffer so much? Why were they ignored and apparently ignored by the world? And as I left Uganda that year, I remember sitting at the airport, and I was on my own, and feeling a bit vulnerable because I hadn't been to Uganda before. And I sat there arguing with God, and I just asking him why. I said, why had he sent me to see all this? It was heartbreaking. Why had he allowed all of this to happen? What on earth did he expect me to do? And I remember saying to him the task was far too big to be ever make a true difference in that country. Because the problems appeared to be, they should have been dealt with on a local level, a national level, and on a worldwide platform. And I said to God, I don't know anybody locally. I am quite shy of speaking in public. I said, don't expect me to speak to MPs, and think about a world platform, forget it, God. And I just remember saying that to him. I said, it's impossible. And as soon as I said that to him, it was as if God, a voice had spoken over the tannoy system. I actually looked round to see who it was at first. And the voice said, I am the God of the impossible. And so this morning I want to show you how God has been so very true to his word. Can we have the next slide, thanks. So I work with this Christian charity called Medcare. And Medcare's aims are to ensure health equalities, as John had said, for sick, vulnerable and deprived children in the developing world through medical and social care. And the main focus of our work is dedicated around a children's medical centre named Wellspring. Have the next slide, thanks. Now, this medical centre is situated in a village called Kamatuza, which nobody will have heard of, which is about 60 to 70 miles south of Kampala, the capital. And it serves over 400,000 children living within a 10-mile radius of the centre. And it was developed following God's challenge to me, really, in 2004. And it opened miraculously in January 2008 for clinical work. Next slide, thanks. Since 2008, 30,000 children have passed through Wellspring for medical care. This is a busy morning in the outpatient clinic. Next slide, thanks. Children come into the clinic with all sorts of different diseases. Those sort of diseases common to children in our country, and also diseases more common and more prevalent in a third world equatorial country. This little boy is called Frank. He's not actually as little as he looks, but I'll tell you a bit more about him later. And he's been examined by William, our wonderful Christian clinical officer, and he had a chest infection, hence the stethoscope. And we see lots of children with ear, nose and throat problems and chest infections, just like GPs see in our surgeries in this country. And in the next slide. Also, of course, we see problems that are more prevalent, as I said, in these third world countries. And parasitic infection is very, very common. And these two little tots are really covered in parasites. The one little girl, I don't know if you can see on this slide, on the right, has a big round patch on her forehead, and that's ringworm. And both the children had ringworm on their heads. They also had jiggers in their feet, which is a little worm in their feet, and worms in their tummies. Had worms everywhere, these poor little children. And all this was due to living in unsanitary conditions with poor nutrition, lack of shoes, unclean water, and extreme poverty. Next slide. But by far the commonest problem that we see in the clinics is malaria. And it's affecting seriously, of course, most seriously, those children under the age of 5 years. Malaria kills one child every 30 seconds in the world today. It's a very serious disease. Here we see Joseph, who's 3 years of age. He actually lives himself in severe poverty. He was born HIV positive and is an orphan. And he is seen here being treated on the Wellspring Day Ward for malaria. Obviously, children with poor immune systems are more susceptible to complications and things of malaria. Next slide. And malaria is the greatest killer of Ugandan children. It's estimated that 1.5 million Ugandan children suffer from malaria, and those at greatest risk are children of death, or children under the age of 5 years. Next slide. Malaria accounts for 43% of deaths of the under fives, and a child can die within 24 hours of contracting the disease. But thousands of children have been treated successfully on the ward since Wellspring began, and it's certain that many young lives have actually been saved because of prompt, affordable and available and expert treatment. And this is something that we really sincerely praise God for. It's a fantastic provision for these little children in rural Uganda. What seems an impossible disease to really control or do anything with is being successfully treated here at Wellspring, following God's vision to open up this unit, this outpatient unit, and this medical ward for these little children. And you know what's even more amazing, it thrills me, that we've been reading about recently, that we've had news that through the Liverpool School of Tropical Diseases, and I think also through one of the London hospitals, two vaccines have been found, which they hope will in fact be used, particularly in young children, for malaria. And this, of course, would save millions of lives a year. Absolutely fantastic news. It's not ready yet, but we're really praying that maybe Wellspring could be the first centre to use it in Uganda. That'd be great, wouldn't it? So our God truly is a God of the impossible. Next slide, thank you. A great deal of the work, though, of Medcare nowadays takes place, of course, outside the medical centre itself. Wellspring staff and teams of doctors from the UK often go out into the communities and they visit children in their homes. Sometimes when we see them in their homes, this is my son Rick, who is a doctor, and myself. And don't look at that picture. Hate pictures of me. examining a little girl called Victoria. Again, I'm going to tell you her story later on. And it was very important to examine this child because we made a very important diagnosis that day. So often the doctors and the nurses will go out and examine the children where they live. And the next slide. And also, by doing so, by going into their homes, we're able to observe firsthand the extreme poverty and the appalling conditions that many children are living in. The only way to truly find out is to go into the homes. And this is a picture of George William. Now, George William was 14 years of age on this picture, and he's dying from AIDS. He was orphaned, lying on a mattress on an earth floor with no palliative or nursing care available to him. Wellspring, he was referred to us really when it was too late to do anything in relation to anything curative for him. And he has a very sad story. But we were able to assist him in his last days of his life. We gave him medication and nursing care and tried to ease his suffering and showing him love and care as well. And mercifully, Jesus took him to be with himself in December, just about 3 weeks after this photograph was taken. And he has, I believe, been taken by Jesus to a place of a love and health and joy in heaven, so different, you know, to the life that he ever experienced on earth. And in a way, for George William, this is now the reality for him of the impossible having become possible. But, you know, I hope there's going to be a happy side to the story of George William, because I believe that the legacy of his story is that God is really challenging us at Wellspring now to open some sort of provide some sort of facility, we don't know what or how it will be, for the terminally ill children, because there is absolutely no provision for children who are dying in the area in which we live. And I just believe that is will be the legacy of George William's life. Next slide, thank you. One of the problems which we've observed in the villages in rural Uganda is the problems of thousands of children as well being born HIV positive and living with AIDS. Again, this has seemed to be an insurmountable problem. How can we truly minister health and healing into these young lives? A lot of the funding that comes through World Health into Uganda and other countries, particularly into Uganda, the authorities have decided or questioning whether they should actually be funding AIDS. They say you should just go and fund for malaria. It's not working with AIDS, so leave it, which I think is appalling because I see so many children who are born HIV positive, totally innocent, born HIV positive. See, many of these children that we see, many of these HIV-positive children are orphaned or abandoned because of their sickness. And initially, it was difficult to imagine how we could ever make a significant difference in the lives of these children. See, children living in extreme poverty, often sick, at risk of death, orphaned, too poor to go to school, never having enough to eat, and living in homes, as I mentioned before, which put their lives at risk daily due to lack of hygiene and clean water, causing the home to be infected with parasites, rats and mosquitoes. Next slide, thanks. In addition, we've met hundreds of children who are disabled and with problems ranging from deafness, blindness, club feet, cerebral palsy, those unable to walk due to polio or other diseases. So you can see this little girl who's called Mary. We think she's 12. They don't know what her birthday actually is. It's a bilateral amputee. Her story is actually very encouraging because through Wellspring, she has just had her stumps refashioned and she is going to be given prostheses. When I asked her if she'd like to walk like the other children, she couldn't believe her ears. And I said, would you like to go to school? At which point she runs around on her knees is how she actually walks. And she was thrilled to bits. But she's a little girl similar to many of these disabled children who've been abandoned by her family. And this happens very much to children who are disabled. And they're often left at a very young age to fend for themselves. And many don't survive. So disabled children is a huge problem. And there's well over 1 million, maybe 2 million of them in Uganda. So with this enormous amount of need in Uganda, you know, we ask God, how can we possibly make a difference that's going to be worthwhile, if you like, with such enormous problems to overcome and so many thousands of children needing our help and to know God's love? But God, again, has been showing us how he is still the God of the seemingly impossible, turning the impossible in children's lives to the possible and the miraculous. And I'm going to share you some stories now, some of the children that have been helped through Wellspring. Under the direction of the Lord, two sponsorship schemes have been set up to care for children with life-threatening illnesses and for children with physical disabilities. So next slide. This little girl is on our sponsorship scheme. She's absolutely beautiful. Her name is Prossy, and she's 3 years of age. And she's a perfect example of why Jesus has commanded us to care for the widows and orphans and why he claims, at least it's seen in the, I think it's a Living Bible translation, Jesus claims that these children are God's kingdom's pride and joy. I love that phrase. Prossy's mother and father have both died from AIDS. And 3 months prior to this photograph having been taken, her mother was buried. And she was attending the funeral. But after the ceremony, all of her friends and relatives abandoned her and left her to care for herself. But God, who sees all things, led a distant relative to look for her. And she found her and took Prossy into her own home. And Prossy is the most gentle spiritual child I have ever met. I visited her in April, and after we'd examined her and dealt with her immediate needs and given her this little dress that she's proudly wearing, she spontaneously broke into prayer and started to pray God's blessing on us and quoted the Lord's Prayer as well. It was the most humbling and overwhelming experience I think I've ever experienced. And this child's prayer was the most beautiful example of the love of God flowing in her, through her, and out to us. No wonder God loves these little ones so much and how much we can learn from them. And little Prossy is still thriving and doing very well under the care of Medcare. The next child we're going to see is Frank again that you saw earlier. And he's another example of God's miraculous working in the mind and spirit of a young boy. His mother died from AIDS when he was very young. And when his father discovered he also had AIDS, he drowned himself, leaving Frank to very uncaring relatives. But God, I believe, had a plan right from the beginning for Frank. And after a number of years of neglect, he was rescued and taken into the home of his very godly great aunt. Frank will never grow to be the same as other boys. His development has been stunted due to AIDS and previous neglect. And he has the body of an 8-year-old boy. But he is, in fact, as I say, 14 years of age. He is often unwell, but he never complains, and he's got a very strong faith in God. He's constantly found trying to help other children in his community with similar problems, And he's amazingly, when I saw him in November, has entered himself onto an AIDS counselling program for children so he can counsel other children with AIDS. He is an amazing little boy. He is a remarkable example of a child loved by God, who loves and trusts God, whatever his circumstance, and lives to minister to others the love of Jesus. We have a lot to learn from these children, and it is a total privilege for me to have met them. Next slide. Ida is 17 years of age, and she's epileptic and blind and has a little bit of mental retardation because of her past. She was actually born normally, but was orphaned at around about the age of 9 years. And around about that time, again, she became very ill with what we assume, although we have no medical records, was some form of encephalitis, an infection of the brain. And she became epileptic and was totally blind, became totally blind. And on leaving hospital, she was put in the care of her siblings, but they didn't want to care for a child, they were older than her, with such severe handicap. And she was shut inside a small hut and left there with the hopes that she would die. But God, again, was watching over this sad little girl. And she was found by an old lady, again, some wonderful old ladies in Uganda, I tell you, where she was given a home and food and love. She was taken to a home for disabled orphans that we work with at present. At the age of 15, though, Ida's behaviour altered. Previously, she'd been a very sad and very quiet little girl, understandably. But at the age of 15, she became incontinent, her behaviour was psychotic and violent, and she began wandering at night. And it was difficult to care for her in a home full of other very much younger children who were disabled. But she was entered onto our sponsorship scheme, and she was sponsored, and still is, by my elderly mother, who's now 92. And she's a very prayerful woman. And really, apart from the sponsorship, the biggest gift my mother's given her is her prayers. And amazingly, over the last 12 months, without any medical aid, Ida's behaviour has amazingly improved. She's now continent. She appears content now. She smiles, you can see, she's smiling. And she communicates with the other children and her carers. In fact, she even spoke to me in English in November. I was absolutely amazed. And she's so much easier to look after. We'd previously thought she'd have to be entered into a home for the mentally ill, which is a place where nobody in Uganda wants to go, and we were extremely worried about her. And the one wonderful thing that she did when I was there in November was that she spontaneously decided that she wanted to sing for me. And she sang with the most beautiful, beautiful, sweet voice about the love of Jesus. And it's the impossible becoming possible for Ida. I continue to pray that the miracle will grow and grow for this child. It would be great if she could see one day, wouldn't it? But God knows, and God is caring for her, and day by day she's improving. And if ever you need evidence that God hears and answers prayer, then you should remember her, Ida's story. Next slide, thanks. There are so many, many stories of God turning the impossible into the possible in the lives of children in Uganda. Some of you would already have heard of the angel story, but it's worth repeating, I have to say. This little girl, Angel, was found in the villages about 18 months ago. We were actually visiting another child at the time, her cousin, as it turned out, and we just saw her sitting on her own by a fence. As you can see, the picture on the right is actually the first time we saw her. She was covered in sores, no hair because it wouldn't grow, very thin, sitting in rags, just sitting on the floor, and totally ignored by the other children. And she appeared to be, by her height and development, about 2 years of age. And I was very surprised because children in Uganda are very, very good at looking after little ones. And normally she'd be carried around by them, but they completely ignored her. We were told on further questioning that this child was mentally deranged, a cripple, and there was nothing that you could do for her. However, we were very, very concerned for her, particularly when we discovered that, in fact, she was 6 years of age. And when we met her, she was doubly incontinent. She never smiled or had any sort of social contact. She couldn't speak, and she couldn't walk. She could stand and literally walk one step and had to sit down. And I didn't believe that she was mentally deranged or a cripple. That it didn't make sense what they were telling me. And God definitely pointed her out to us that day. And so we took her away from her grandmother who was caring for her. In a way, I feel sorry for the grandmother. She already had her own children to look after. This child had been abandoned into her care, but she was already looking after another grandchild very sick with AIDS. And so she just completely neglected this child that they thought had no hope. So we took her away, put her in the home for abandoned orphans, and sent her to a pediatrician in Kampala. And he diagnosed TB spine, which is why she was so short as well. And she has a very bad curvature of the spine. And kwashiorkor, which is very severe malnutrition. The whole of her problem was pure neglect. Can we have the next slide? Thank you. Her condition, as I say, was due to neglect. And it was thought at that time that she really wasn't going to survive very, very long. And in fact, if she'd been left in the village, I reckon she could only have survived another 4 weeks. But angel and God defied all the odds against her. And within 3 months of being put in the home for abandoned orphans, and having been given special diets by Wellspring, the food that she needed, and most of all, the love and care that she needed, she became unrecognizable. I went to visit her 3 months later, and this is the child that I saw. As you can see, very friendly, wanting it to hug and sort of kiss everybody. She could walk, she could talk, and she was totally continent in 3 months, which really was a medical miracle. Next slide. This is Angel today. As you can see, she's a very sturdy little girl, and she's enjoying her childhood. She's thought of as God's little miracle child in the home where she lives because of the miraculous way in which she's recovered. And the impossible has definitely been made possible for Angel. Next slide. Angel's best friend in the orphanage is Isaac. And we first met Isaac in 2009, and he was then a very, very miserable three-year-old. He'd been born, with, as you can see, with bilateral club feet, and he'd been abandoned by his family just because of this deformity. All Isaac wanted to do, he used to say, was to play with other boys, but of course walking was almost impossible and painful, and he faced a really uncertain future. But on hearing about this little boy, a school in Runcorn that I was speaking at, literally about a week after I'd met him, gave me £300 for his surgical care. And this surgery has been so successful that this is Isaac now. Well, in fact, this is Isaac in 2010. He's just a bit bigger now. And he had a most wonderful result from his surgery. In fact, I was told in November that Isaac is being used as a case study at the university in Kampala, because the surgeons have said that Isaac's recovery has been far beyond and far quicker than was expected with the care that he's had. Obviously, they haven't heard of God of miracles there. He's a very cheeky, cheerful little boy. He's always a ringleader, always smiling like that. Look at the next slide. He plays football whenever he can, generally enjoys his new life. And this is Angel and Isaac earlier on this year. They're, interestingly, the best of friends. They live together in the same orphanage. They go to school now. Both of them go to school now. And they generally get into mischief. And their lives have been transformed from the impossible to the possible. From a life of neglect and sadness and pain to lives full of hope and love and joy. When I started with this work, I was skeptical, despite the fact God had told me very clearly in the airport that he was the God of the impossible. You know, it's sometimes holding on to promises sometimes is not easy, is it? And I was a little skeptical, particularly being a medic, as to how much difference we could make in the lives of children who suffer so much. But it's becoming more and more evident that however difficult the circumstance, however great the need, that God provides and is able to transform the impossible to the possible. For example, we've been concerned for the life expectancy and quality of life of children suffering from AIDS. But I was actually informed in November that the local AIDS agency that we work with stated that all the children they see who are on our sponsorship scheme are far healthier and happier and have a much greater life expectancy than any of the other thousands of children they care for. That was a real accolade for Wellspring and such an encouragement to us. The next slide. And of course we have the evidence, which has seen children, from our own eyes, that children's lives can be helped and lives can be saved. Jeremiah, who's actually 6 months old on this picture, but when he was 3 months old, some sort of, I think she was a community worker, came to our clinical officer urgently and said there was a baby who was dying in one of the villages, and they were very concerned for him. And we found that he was 3 years of age, three months old, and he'd been born HIV positive. His mother had died about 1 month after birth. And as well as being very sick, he was extremely malnourished. He was absolutely minute. And the pictures of him at that time is of this tiny little skeletal baby with his fist stuck in his mouth, obviously just trying to get some form of nutrition, poor thing. So it was thought he wouldn't really survive, and I didn't know if he was going to survive at all. So I didn't actually put him on the sponsorship scheme as a result. We just covered his treatment through general running of costs of Wellspring. But he did survive. God had other plans for this child. We sent him to a nutrition unit at a hospital reasonably close to us, and he's not only thrived. And this is this latest picture. At 6 months of age, he's obviously still very underdeveloped, and he's still very tiny, but he's very, very different from the child we've seen 3 months before. And now he has every chance of survival and is being sponsored on our scheme. Because God has plans for this little boy's life, and the impossible, he's going to make the impossible possible for this child. We should never be skeptical when God promises us something, because we read in Hebrews 6 verse 17 that God also bound himself with an oath so that those he promised to help would be perfectly sure and never need to wonder whether he might change his plans. He has given us both his promise and his oath, two things we can completely count on, for it is impossible for God to tell a lie. Next slide, thanks. Looking back over the last 7 years, the evidence that God has been true to his word is overwhelming. One big problem, of course, that every charity has to overcome is finance. And God has always provided, though, throughout the 7 years. And totally miraculously, something that John was referring to earlier, the Manchester Airport Group, who's a company who oversees all the work taking place at Manchester Airport and three other national airports, they have agreed to sponsor Medcare for 3 years. In fact, they came to us, asking us whether they could sponsor us. It was a complete miracle, something I would never have dared to hope for, quite honestly. And this sponsorship is to enable Medcare to increase the size of the medical centre, improving our present facilities, and developing a unit to care specifically for the children suffering from AIDS and the disabled children. So God has shown us the needs of AIDS and disability within the communities we work in, and now he's providing even more for them. So I know he'll continue to provide. And even though we have to raise £40,000 to £50,000 above that sponsorship to run Wellspring, and it seems insurmountable, it is fantastic, really, that God has shown us so often how he will make the apparent impossible possible. I just want to read to you from Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts or hopes. May he be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of his master plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ. He is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Fantastic, isn't it? Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. So in the light of God's all God's promises, Medcare believes that God has an even greater things in store for us and the children of Uganda in 2012. We've got many problems, I know, that we're going to have to overcome, etc., etc. But God is a God of the seemingly impossible. Next slide, we've nearly finished. So just finally, I just value your prayers for this little girl, Victoria. Again, you saw her being examined by Rick and myself previously. She's 6 years old and is an orphan and is very badly deformed due to severe TB spine, which we diagnosed in April. And on sending her to review, though, to an orthopedic surgeon in Kampala, we're told that there was every opportunity that this child might walk for the first time in her life following appropriate surgery. I was very shocked when I got that report and overwhelmed and jumping about thinking, God, is a God of miracles here. But we had to overcome quite a few difficulties. We had to raise £1,000 for her, which we did. Then we had to treat her TB, which is still active, which we did, and to build her up physically because she was very neglected and underweight and often in pain and with breathing difficulties because of her deformity. And 3 weeks ago, she had surgery in Kampala, and last Sunday was discharged from hospital. And I'm praying that this little girl will experience the love of Jesus as he speaks to her and tells her to take up her bed and walk. I'm waiting for her miracle. And I would ask that you also pray this prayer with me so that together we might see what wonderful things God has done for us. 6 months ago, everyone who knew Victoria believed she would never walk, and she was destined to be reliant on others for her future care, sitting in the earth, unable to get about. And now she's been given the chance to walk. Her future is in the hands of Jesus, of course, but I know how much he loves her, and I'm trusting him to provide the possible for this little girl in the face of the impossible. On our last slide, thank you. So I hope that this message from Medcare will encourage all of us here today as we face a new year with unknown difficulties and challenges. I would really ask that you continue to pray for the children in Uganda, and we really appreciate your support, and also to pray for the work of the Wellspring Children's Medical Center and the charity itself. We're told that God answers our prayers if we trust in him, and as we remember the apparently insurmountable problems of the children living in such poverty, we might remember God's promises to us and to them, that I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you hope and a future. And I pray that each of us, as we face each day of the new year, will be able to say with Mary, my God is a God of the impossible. Thank you very much.